Blog Talk Radio.
Edition of obviously non-football NFL, but next week it kicks off, and so we are totally excited to be on Monday night. I know we had Sunday nights, and today we have a big show lined up. We're going to get into some Legends Football League talk. Aussie Women's Gridiron season kicked off this weekend, as well as we're going to have Erica Lind Anderson back to kind of give us the rundown on the deflate gate, basically, for her man, the appeal, and obviously Tom Brady won. So it's kind of Roger Goodell is losing big time in here. Alongside Nkechi Free, Oscar Lopez. Nkechi, what's going down?
Not too much. Just adjusting to school, you know, getting back in the swing of things after enjoying a happy, lazy summer and laid back, kicked back, and now it's time to pick back up the pencils and the papers and the books and the dirty looks and all of the rest of that fun stuff that goes along with having little people.
Yeah, my sister, I'm not a happy camper the last 2 weeks because she had to go on a, what they call pencil list, you know, everywhere, backpacks and
oh my God.
Getting all the stuff together. And she's got three in different age groups. So,
yes.
You know, a lot of stuff going on with, you know, difference of personality, as well as some of them are accommodating, others are easier than others. And then you got, you know, clashes with, you know, fashion. And, yeah, I know she dreads that. I think she probably wishes that they're all 18 and they're gone. But not going to happen anytime
soon.
Man,
I'm telling you, I hate it. I absolutely, positively hate it myself. I have the twins, of course, so that's just like, double everything, but then because the twins are boy-girl, it's not even like I can be consistent and get them all the exact same thing because, you know, like you were saying, different personalities and, you know, so I've got one in the seventh grade and then the twins are in the fourth grade. So, yeah, absolutely. And then trying to just get back, like I said, you know, in the swing of things. But, you know, it's exciting and I think I'm like your sister. I'm probably one of the few people who just cringes. All my other girlfriends are like, yay, it's cool. I'm like, oh, no.
Well, you know, there is no restful nights, and there is none like that. Like my sister always relates because I don't have any kids, but I can relate to them when they come through the summer and stuff, and they always, you know, they seem okay, but she always says, you have no idea. And I was like, all right, I'm staying with the uncle mentality of they're all saints.
Oh, yeah, you stick with that belief.
Yes, exactly. So, Nkechi, we got some stuff in the NFL this week. You know, the Aussie-born Aussie player, I think it's Jarran Hayden, made the 53-man roster from the Niners. And so that's exciting. There was a lot of buzz on Twitter in Australia especially, and a lot of our followers obviously on our Twitter feed at Gridiron Beauty were, you know, from Aussie land. So all of them were very excited. They were tweeting on that. The Aussie NFL guys that we follow from down under, they were totally into it as well. So it's kind of exciting to see if he's going to evolve into a major piece for the Niners. And I think that's awesome because he comes from rugby. So you would assume the physical contact, the toughness without gear, without a helmet, it's kind of a bonus for the Niners, I guess.
Especially right now because, you know, that whole 49ers team is just, I don't even know what to say about them or what, you know, what words to use right now. I mean, you know, of course, you know, yes, they've got Colin Kaepernick, but outside of that, between the defense and the rest of the offensive line, they need the spark.
Yeah, Thomas Sewell's got a lot of work to do. I think Niner Nation is transforming and transitioning. They're going to be, I mean, they come across as they're going to be okay, but Seattle has improved. The Rams have somewhat improved, and they're young as well. Arizona, we already know, they're just biding their time.
Yeah.
They want the division title, and they want to be in the playoffs. And then, you know, their coach has not been, you know, anything but adamant and stating that they are the best team in that division, and they're going to prove it this year from last year's,
yep.
You know, end result. So they got a rough road.
I absolutely agree. This, you know, this is not the same NFC West division, you know, that it was several years ago. And that was one of those divisions where clearly the 49ers were the clear favorite. And now they really and truly do have a lot of competition. And that's going to be one of those divisions where almost like the NFC East, there's almost parity. And it's going to be the last man standing to come out of that division.
Yeah, and you get a sense that that's changing, and then they're in a tough conference anyways. You know, you're looking at the Green Bays, the Bears, a lot of the teams in that conference have changed a lot. Even Minnesota is changing. So there's a lot of competition that improvement has have made in certain teams in that conference. So it's going to be a little tougher even to get out of the division at this point, not let alone even
into
the conference.
I absolutely agree.
We'll see how that works. Any news from Dallas? So we'll just give you the tidbit for Dallas now, if you have any, so we can get that out of the way.
Oh, see, I was gonna wait. Well, you know, we just traded
for
the.
You can wait if you want. You have an option.
I'm gonna wait for a little bit only because I think I don't want to lead into a rant, you know, just yet. But it's not a bad rant. It's actually a good rant. You know, so I want to, yeah, so it's not a bad rant. It's a good rant, but I think I want to wait a little while and, you know, get into some of those, some of what's going on with us and make sure that I have a little bit of time to commemorate. So, yeah, it's a good rant, though. Excited that the season's going to start this weekend. I am literally all systems go, you know, 3 days of countdown till NFL, and of course, you know, college football season kicked off tonight. So, of course, that's where Erica and Eric do their best work because, you know, I'm honest, I don't really follow college football despite my severe fandom from all of my friends around me.
So what we're going to do with that, it's a fix because I'm on the same boat you are. I'm not a huge college guy, you know, besides following UCLA, which is my school, basically, UCLA. But beyond that, I'm not a real college guy, and I don't keep up with it as much. So what we're going to do is we're going to dive into some people that know what they're talking about. So we're going to try to get a couple folks from our Twitter friends and our Twitter supporters, a couple of them to come in. We're probably going to get some of the cast from gridirongirl.org to come in and give us a 15-minute, you know, rundown of week to week in the college game. So that kind of gives us the hot top to look for and stuff like that. So it's kind of like the same thing we did with Fantasy Greek at Fantasy Greek with the fantasy, you know, rundown to give us a kind of some updates. So we're going to do that as well.
Okay.
So beyond some headlines, I don't really get into college football as much, but that doesn't mean we can't bring in somebody that knows what they're talking about.
Yeah, no, I'm the exact same way. Actually, the only college football that I follow is I follow the SWAC schools and I follow the MEAC schools. Southwestern Athletic Conference and the Mid-Eastern Athletic Conference. So, you know, because I'm right here, so there's Howard right here, there's Morgan State, Delaware State, you know, so I am surrounded by those schools in the MEAC, and then Owen Bowie State, I think, is also in the MEAC. I've got the MEAC schools around me, but of course I'm a proud alumni of the Southwestern Athletic Conference. So, you know, I care about Jackson State, Mississippi Valley State University, my alma mater, Kelly Green and White Baby, you know, Alcorn Southern and Grambling. In fact, actually, you know, Grambling State was actually out your way this past weekend. They played the UCal Bears.
Yeah, they were. They were out here. So normally
did
I follow
Pac-10. Did you get a chance to see?
No, I didn't get a chance to see. I was actually working on some other things that was going on, and then along the way this weekend, I had to go see my parents out there, and you know, just things that happen outside of, you know, the realm that you're working with. But other than that, I usually follow Pac-10. Pac-10, I usually try it on top of it because there's small schools out here like San Jose State, Fresno State are the other ones that I follow, obviously, and then Utah, any of the Utah schools, they're usually top-notch in the second, in the, you know, in the Mountain Division. So, you know, like I said, we'll bring somebody in that knows what they're talking about and kind of give us a good perspective. And who better to do that than gridirongirl.org? All the girls out there, they know what they're talking about. So we can,
yeah,
you know, obviously we're going to have Erica hook us up with that. And then we can have the 15-minute college rundown. I think that would be ideal for us to do. Let's go into some of the women's action that happened this weekend. And in Down Under in Australia, to be precise, in Queensland, it was the inaugural, you know, season for 2015. It's a new season. In other words, not inaugural, but new season for them. It's the Gridiron Queensland. And the girls out there, our two representatives out there is Christy Moran of the Logan City Jets, the champions of last year, and obviously the QB for the Gridiron, the Gold Coast Stingrays, which is Lauren Evans, which are two huge No Joke Football supporters from Down Under, as well as Liza Thomas, who does the amazing photo shoots that you see on Twitter and on Instagram for us. So we want to give a shout-out to them for supporting us for a long time, almost 2 years now, going running. So we really appreciate their support, and they're all down with you know, the No Joke Football slogan down in Australia. So that's very helpful for us in terms of the project. So this weekend in Queensland, two teams met that have never played on the Queensland stage, and those are the two teams that were actually to start this year. The inaugural seasons for both, the Bayside Ravens and taking on the South Brisbane Wildcats. And it was a 43-6. And Bayside Ravens had some players previously from other clubs in the Queensland division. So they obviously were a little bit more astute to the game. So you can see the score, 43-6. So South Brisbane needs to go back week two, kind of regroup, and try to see if they can put up some more points on there. But hats off to the Bayside Ravens, who won their first inaugural franchise win, 43-6, versus the South Brisbane Wildcats. So 1-0 kicks off their season in week one. And then the champs continue their role. Christy Moran, as well as the Logan City Jets, 38-0 over their arch rival, the Kenmore Panthers. They've owned the series a lot in the last 4 years since they've been running. So Kenmore's got a lot of work to do to try to one-up on the champs. So Logan City, 38-0, and that's what it was. Gold Coast Stingrays, it was Lauren Evans, her team, 50-0, taking on Sunshine Coast Spartans. And so the Spartans, like I said, another team that has to regroup in week two, trying to make a vie for it. And it's a nine-week season, so the schedule will be posted out there on our Facebook page, as well as you can go to @GridironQLD on Twitter and get the rundown. You can also follow @WomensGridiron for all the latest updates from Down Under in terms of the scores, in terms of the schedules. Coming up next week, you're going to have Gridiron New South Wales kickoff. The kickoff September 12th, and that's going to be UTS Gators, the Gridiron, the Women's Gators, UTS Gridiron, and you can find them on Twitter @UTSGridiron also, versus the Phoenix Gridiron. You can find them on Twitter as well @PhoenixGridiron. That will be the first game of the season for Gridiron New South Wales. And then Gridiron Victoria had a nice little piece in the Sunday paper Down Under. They got some coverage. All the teams did a little photo shoot from the newspaper, the Sunday Age. So congratulations to them for getting noticed out there in their areas as well. And now this season, Gridiron Victoria, you can follow them @GridironVic, V-I-C, Gridiron V-I-C. And you can use the hashtag GVWomens throughout the season, and that's what we're going to be following as well, GVWomens. Kind of give you an update rundown in terms of the season. Once the season kicks off, it's going to start in about another 2 weeks or so. And so we're going to be keeping tabs on all the women's scene. So we're in Down Under for the NFL season slate. We're going to be talking NFL, and then we're going to be talking Aussie women's great aunt. So what do you think of that, Kishi?
I think it's amazing. I actually just wish we could be down there, considering that they're getting ready to go into their summertime as we get ready to go into our wintertime. And I'm sure that the fabulous, wonderful ladies down under would love our support live and in person.
Yeah, and they get coverage out there. Just to let you know, they do, it's not like in the U.S. or in Canada where they're not getting any TV time. Ascension TV in over in Australia, what they do is the men's teams have already the broadcast rights, so the women's teams are supported by the men's teams. So you're going to get to see some YouTube videos coming up here soon in about 2 weeks. You're going to see Queensland on YouTube. You're going to see some live game action from the matches that are happening this season in Queensland, in New South Wales, in Great Island Victoria as well. So it's going to be exciting. So you can actually see a couple games.
No, I think that's amazing. And I think that's extremely exciting. And then I think, again, as we've always said, that this is what helps promote, you know, women's football, and the fact that we're getting able to start showing the games, promoting the games, as well as, you know, through our various promotions, investing in the players. Because as we build interest in the individual players themselves, it creates more of an interest in the women's game. And, you know, I'm even starting to see that with women's basketball. And I love it when I see a game on TV and then they show, you know, the NBA players at the game supporting the ladies, because I think that makes a difference. And it's that investment emotionally which helps to promote women's athletics all around.
Yeah, and you need role models, and, you know, role models are very important. And the reality is in Australia, the men's teams really capitalize on that. They have senior teams as well, and they also have what they call junior colt teams. Basically, you know, youth, just like USA Football has with the youth camps, you know, for boys. So they have that, and now the women's division is actually starting and growing. So there's some obstacles in some areas, like the ACT Gridiron over in a small region in Australia that still is getting up and running. But for the most part, almost every territory in Australia has at least a league now, so which is very promising.
Right. No,
so
I was just agreeing with you. I think it is promising. And, you know, the more we can expand acknowledgement and awareness of the women's game, be it nationally or internationally, you know, it's always a win-win.
Yeah, and for PR purposes, you know how impactful that is. If they're getting supported by the men's club and they're actually getting viewership at some point, I think the Logan City game drew about 700 fans to the game, and each individual game on the Queensland stage was between 300 and 400 fans. So you know, beyond family members, which probably you can narrow down to 150 to 100, you still had probably a good 300 to 400 new fans. So that's awesome.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We're going to talk Legends Football League, and if you don't follow Legends Football League, unfortunately, you have to follow, because they are basically the NFL in terms of a profile stage for the, you know, for women's non-kit. We're not talking full kit, but non-kit full kit, and everybody, you know, considered lingerie or whatever. So you can just throw that word out the door now. It's pretty much women's indoor arena women's football, and that's what you want to consider it now. And what has been happening here this season, the Legends Football League was revamped a little bit with some support internally from Mitchell Mortaz's brother and his family. And you can see that the progress this season was a lot better than previous seasons. And so being on Fuse is huge, because even, you know, it's a cable outlet. No matter what, you're on a cable outlet. So you got to give them props for even being on a cable outlet. So they get props for that, as well as they have shown on YouTube that they can sustain, you know, a delay game for so long, and they have a lot of viewership on YouTube as well for support. So hats off to the Legends Football League, the athletes in the Legends Football League, and everybody behind the scenes that have made a great season this year. And what better place to showcase their championship final than in Seattle, Washington, of all places, where it's football heaven. I mean, they're on Seahawks high. They've been on Seahawks high since, you know, the Seahawks have been so prominent in the NFL. So now it's like to have a team in their city win a championship on the female stage, and they support a lot of the local teams. You know, they support the women's Sounders team. A lot of the women's sports, the Seattle really supports that end of it. So I have to give them props. The city of Seattle, an amazing city, and they showed up that day. I will tell you, it was almost a packed house, and that stadium holds about I think almost 8,500 fans. So to have almost close to 7,000 fans in attendance for the championship game for a women's arena football league, that's got to be huge. That's like huge accomplishment.
That is amazing.
And I got to give a shout out to the Seattle Miss organization, Seattle Miss players, because obviously they were promoting, they were out there doing their part, taking care of. And I really, want to give a shout out and a congratulations to Jessica Hopkins, who has been one of our main supporters since we started the project. And she's always been, helpful and supportive in doing that. So Jessica was nominated for Hall of Fame induction, which she did not get this year. But basically she is a true Hall of Famer. She went out on top. She won a Legends Cup in the previous folded the LFL Canada. So she won with the BC Angels. She won a championship there with the LFL Canada. And now she won a LFL US championship. So she's one of the few people that have won a championship on two countries, besides Monique Axiola and Chloe Butler, who did it in Australia with LFL Australia. And then they won championships in LFL US. Stevie Snore. The Bull. We want to congratulate her, MVP of the Legends Cup and a No Joke Football supporter. Stevie, if you're listening, thank you very much for sporting our Beast Unleashed t-shirt. And we got that up on Instagram and we got it up on Twitter as well. So we really appreciate you supporting us, and you are a beast. MVP of the Legends Cup, you can't get any better than that, right?
No, you really can't. And then speaking of promotion, can I just say, hats off to the Seattle Miss. Not only have they won the championship, but the ladies have already started promoting right now on the heels of their win that they are having their tryouts on December, up in December 2016 open tryouts. So I know they put 2016, but I know they meant to put 2015. But the point is that the ladies are already promoting right away. And they're letting people know, hey, we're here, we won, and guess what? We're not going to rest on our laurels.
Yeah, and
I think
they were
that's a really good,
season.
Smart move. Yeah, they were.
Yeah, it's a smart move. For sure, it's a smart move. You said it right there. It's smart. That's smart promotions. You're right off the hill. You're hot. You got to stay hot. You know what I mean? In order for it to be relevant in the fans' view and relevant in the business view, and relevant, overall in the community, you really got to stay relevant. Yeah, you're right.
And the fact that they are capitalizing on the huge attendance numbers speaks volumes, because they recognize, if we're really going to promote this, and as you said, it's no longer the lingerie football league, it's this indoor arena football for women. And so, and then that's actually, if they're listening, that's actually the promotional PR tactic they have to take. They have to stay away from focusing on the uniform and focus on the fact that they're indoor arena football. And if they approach their promotions as we're women's indoor arena football, they can totally watch their attendance and their numbers continue to grow. And if that is the way they continue to promote themselves and focusing less on what they're wearing, then I promise you that they might even be able to win over some of those female fans.
Yeah, a lot of the fan base in Seattle is female. I know for a fact, because I've talked to various players, and a lot of their fan base is female. And you have that pride, because, like I said, there's a huge support for, like, the women's soccer team, the Seattle Sounders women's football club. And so people enjoy soccer. Soccer is, world-renowned. So just to have football in the indoor game and get supported, that's awesome. I also want to say that Liz Gorman was inducted into the LFL Hall of Fame. She is only the second person in the six-year history of the league. They inducted Monique Axiola last year, from the L.A. Temptation, and two of the best players in the Legends Football League, bar none. And this woman right here was a beast on the defensive end. She did everything for her team. Unfortunately, she never got to win a championship, but she, if you ever get to see a highlight reel of Liz Gorman on the field, you are going to see a huge, this woman was a massive asset to Tampa Breeze when Tampa fans saw her, and they know exactly what she comes with. She comes with the tenacity, aggression, and she had it. It's basically no different than Danica Brace this year. I mean, Danica Brace pretty much was just a monster on the corners this year. She just tore up some of the opponents this year. L.A. really made, I think, Seattle a lot better, and she acknowledged that in the Legends Cup broadcast. She acknowledged that, obviously, facing Los Angeles three times this season really improved Seattle's state of mind and improvement on it. So you've got to give credit to credit is due. Congratulations to the Seattle Mist for their amazing game. Now, I want to say Chicago came in the favorite, and everybody was great. I mean, they started, and all of a sudden when they walked in, and you'll see the broadcast, you can go on to LFLUS.com. You can find the link there, or you can go to the YouTube channel at Legends Football League, or if you replay it and have it on, if you get Fuse, it'll be replayed pretty much all week. So you can actually watch the game during the week. But the bottom line, and Kishi, what I'm talking about is there was some amazing players that were playing amazing ball that game, and that was Seattle. On Seattle's side of the ball, Stevie Snorre, Katie Finland, Danica Brace, and you can't forget the quarterback, the Mighty Mouse, what I call her Mighty Mouse, which is KK Matheny. She was, I think, the game changer. They didn't have a quarterback before this year. They had Angela Ripken before that. They had Laurel Creel. They never had a quarterback like this girl, and we want to give KK Matheny her just due, not because to overshadow the rest of the players around her, but her leadership, her composure, and her sense of what the team really needed to do. It wasn't easy for her, but she came through, and she obviously has a cup. So, and she played in the league 5 years, even went to Australia and played down there, and then she even went to all fantasy games. So she's been a workhorse for this league, and she's been in Jacksonville. So you got to give her props. We talked about this. They're not getting a penny, like professionals, like the NBA girls do. They're not getting a penny out of this, but in the long run, they have put their hard-earned soul into it, and what better way to gratify and get gratified than winning a championship?
Absolutely. Well, and of course, everyone knows that I'm still new to ladies football, but ever since we, started co-hosting the show, Seattle's name has continually been one of the ones that I've heard over and over and over and over, and they've been one of the standout names, that has just continually produced on the field. And you're right, I have to really and truly say congratulations once again. I know we've said it several times, but this isn't a small feat. To win your national title championship is huge, regardless of your sport. And what these ladies have done and what they have overcome, and the season that I've learned about this is, nothing short of amazing. And to upset the three, and to upset the Chicago Bliss. I mean, they are the defending champ. So, and then not only did you come, up in your field, but then you upset the defending title champion. And then not even a one-time defending title champion, two-time defending title champion. So that speaks volumes in and of itself of what Chicago was capable of doing. So, again, hats off to these ladies, because that is no easy feat.
Yeah, and Chicago came in, and if you watch the game, and I watched the game already, but when you watch the game, you're going to see that Chicago somehow did not come with their normal game plan. But at the same time, you also have to give credit to Seattle. It's kind of like, when you walk in a game and you're like, they just didn't play their best. But technically, you have to acknowledge that the defensive side of the ball was probably superior. So when you get stalled on offense, you got to give credit where credit is due. That means the defensive side of the ball is just, they're jacking you up. They're holding you down. They're not allowing you to do what you normally would do. And that's what happened here in Seattle. the Showwear Center, and I want to give the Showwear Center a shout-out because they've been following us as well at Showwear Center. So, you know, it's a great venue. It was a great event. And if you watch it on Fuse or you watch it on YouTube, I can tell you right now, Seattle brought it. They were aggressive to Heather Furr. Heather Furr made a lot of mistakes. You know, Crystal Harris was stopped at the goal line within the first quarter. You were just surprised because she is just a gazelle. And unfortunately, even with breakouts that she had, she still was stopped. So it was just, you know, it was a good game plan, and they executed it. They got the win by about a touchdown, which is, you know, the champs. They were up 20-0 at halftime, and they were still up almost 20-0 at mid-quarter of third quarter, but Chicago did respond, so you got to give them credit for responding as the champs. They knew they were getting their butts whipped, and they ended up turning around and trying to make a game out of it. So congratulations to the Mist once again.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I totally agree. And I just want to say again, you know, I know Erica and I have talked about it in the past, but, you know, since you weren't on previously, you know, I just wanted to say that I really and truly have enjoyed being part of the show. And I know, like, it was my first season, and it really truly has been a learning experience for me. And it's just been eye-opening and amazing. And then it's even funnier because, like, sometimes, you know, my friends and I, you know, we're all chatting and having conversations on social media, and, you know, all of a sudden we're discussing women's football, and it's like, I know that, you know, and it's fun because as they're saying, oh, yeah, that's right, you're working with them now, you know. I'm like, yeah, this is really cool. It's amazing, and there's just so much to learn, and as a former female athlete, it's really, like you said, one, these ladies aren't making any money off of it, so what we do is so critical and important to help bring them that awareness, but hopefully by elevating the social conscious as well as support for the game, that these athletes can finally start earning an income doing what they love and also what they're good at doing. Because there's a lot of really bad males out there making good money, and they stink.
Exactly. And the good thing about it is these women right now, this is the phase, if you go back like to the NFL ages, you know, where it was the early 40s and the early 50s and the late 60s, mm-hmm. that really catapulted, you know, players to get compensated in the late 70s and early 80s. So these ladies right here are a centerpiece of pioneers for a sport that, you know, we don't know 10 years from now. We don't know if it's going to be 15, 20 years from now. It will become a paying sport. You know what I'm saying? It's like these people are laying the groundwork. Some of these players here are laying the groundwork for a sport that isn't really accepted in some realms in perception, but at the same time, they still believe that this is going to be something huge. And who knows? We don't know, but it could be something huge in the next couple of years. Like you said, if they do their due diligence with PR work, if they keep up with some of their intangibles and make the changes, it could be valid. And hats off to Oxygen, you know, and I'm pretty sure Oprah's not listening to us, but I'm just telling you right now, hats off to Oxygen for doing the documentary and taking on the documentary, which is pretty strong, which is going to premiere on October 6th.
Right.
So I would say it's going to follow 8 of the Chicago Blitz players.
Well, we're definitely going to have to make sure we tweet her. We're going to have to make sure we continue to tweet at Miss Oprah to let her know that in addition to promoting these ladies, that there are other media outlets as well that are also focused on creating awareness and bringing attention to what they contribute to the field of football.
Yeah, exactly. But, I mean, it's going to be a documentary show. I'm pretty sure I've seen the trailer. It seems pretty well done. So it's a reality TV did it. So they do a lot of shows for MTV, and they do a lot of shows for, you know, a lot of the cable outlets. So I'm pretty sure it's going to be well done. So at this point, you know, the Chicago Bliss is going to be front and center October 6th. It's hashtag pretty strong. You can follow them there. It's going to be pretty strong on Oxygen, and we'll keep up with it week to week. We're going to be basically a little bit couch potatoes here for ourselves, kind of take a look and see what the episodes are about and kind of talk about it a little bit about how it's done and week to week. I believe it's this season that they shot if I'm correct, I believe it's going to be this current season. So we're going to see the agony of the end, which is basically they lost at the championship in Seattle. So we'll see how that, you know, that transpires onto the TV screen.
Well, and I know that we're talking, you know, women's football and everything like that, but and I know that a lot of people still don't recognize cheerleading as a sport, and as a former cheerleader, I can tell you that in addition to cheering, football, I played soccer, track, basketball, and did 2 years of ice skating. I have more injuries as a cheerleader in high school and college than I did all of the other sports combined, and that's literally not a lot. And yet, speaking of not, you know, getting paid, a lot of people don't know that the professional cheerleaders, you know, for all of the NFL teams, they are almost in the same boat as women's football, and that they're literally not getting paid. They may get a few dollars here and there, you know, for appearances, but these ladies have to shell out so much money to maintain themselves and a certain look and their hair and their nails and their skin and all the et cetera, that, and not to mention travel time going all around their various cities and locations, you know, doing community outreach, that it in no way what little bit they get compensates for what they put out personally out of their own income to be able to do this. And I think that that's so, you know, and it's so interesting that and I make the comparison because so many people are kicking and screaming and yelling about what the LFL players are wearing, yet these are the same people who don't bat an eye about the professional cheerleaders, and they literally, their uniforms are comparable.
Yeah, and that's what,
you know,
I'm saying.
Wearing, and it's so,
yeah.
It's amazing.
No, I mean, your point is well valid. There's no difference. One's wearing a bikini. The other ones are wearing a somewhat top and a skirt, right? But the view is the same. You still have the same view. You still have some skin. You still have a athletic female. You still have a performer, right, if you want to put it in, you know, in general basic terms. And no compensation. So, yeah, I guess that analogy is right on point.
Well, and I also like that you use the term entertainment, because when I actually ironically got my master's, my concentration was entertainment and sports, public relations. And when I first took the class, my first year of grad school, it was entertainment and sports PR. And I thought, well, this is odd. You know, what are you doing? You know, of course, you know, you're not going to really question the professor, but what he said has always stuck with me, that sports are a form of entertainment. The difference is the tools that you use for your craft. Singers use their voice. Dancers use their bodies. Theater performers and actors use sometimes all three, you know, their bodies, their voices, and their dancing if there is a triple threat. And athletes use their bodies. And I think that, you know, sometimes we get so caught up as fans that we forget that, you know, as there was the famous quote, "Are you not entertained?" This is a form of entertainment as well. So I think that sometimes we forget that because we are so caught up in the athleticism that we tend to forget that, you know, this is a form of entertainment as well. And I really love how you put that analogy out there. That's so spot on.
Yeah, it's a rough road on both ends. And I don't want to throw the term out there, hashtag equality, but in some realms of sport, yes, that is a true bold statement. There is no equal. So some of the bodies or organizations have to acknowledge the fact that they have to be compensated in some form especially if they're bringing a lot of revenue to an organization or a lot of revenue to a franchise, you know, things like that. But do you know if Erica's on?
Yep, I do. In fact, I was just about to let you know that our beautiful Erica
Bring in our resident Brady lover and, of course, Patriots big fan, and she's making some time because last week it was her last full show for us. But she's, I just wanted to bring her on because this is kind of gratifying. She was on point saying this is just a ridiculous situation with Roger Goodell. So let's give Erica Lynn Anderson the floor on Great Island Blitz and kind of dissect hashtag deflate. Erica,
hello,
are you
Erica.
On?
Hey, guys, how are ya?
We're
I'm
hanging
good.
Out,
was
and we are waiting
school.
For a rant.
You're ready.
Yes,
you're
and no, no ranting about the first week of school.
I've been on a rant since Thursday. I've been on a rant since Thursday when that morning when the ruling was announced. I was actually wearing a different outfit, and I changed my clothes, put on my Brady jersey, and I went to school. And all day I walked around, and people were saying stuff, and I was like, giving them all the facts, and I was like, vindication, all day I walked around. So it was sweet. Yeah, been on a permanent rant since Thursday. So that is
yeah, I
want to
tell you something. I just think as most people on Twitter thought that Roger Goodell is a fool to even go to a legal state, mm-hmm. but here it is proven
Absolutely.
Again, once again, that this was just a waste of money on a situation
mm-hmm.
that had no factor for a game. I could see if it was a championship game and you deflate the ball at the last down of the game and that becomes a big factor for a catch or something, but this was just ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a waste of money. You know, that was my sense too.
Yeah, well, and, you know, and then they go ahead and appeal it. They go ahead and they're going to appeal the decision. I believe they've already filed because they disagree, obviously, and they're appealing, which the judge warned them, Judge Berman warned them that it could take up to 2 years.
Yeah.
They're going to drag this thing out. And I was watching SportsCenter, which is rare for me because I don't usually, but, you know, Adam Schefter had a really good point. He's like, is this about protecting the integrity of the league, or is this about proving that you're right? And at this point, for Goodell, it's about proving
right.
that he is right. It is not about the league.
Mm-hmm.
It is not about the integrity of the league or anything other than trying to save his ass. That's all it's about here, and that is not somebody we need to lead this league. And they still, I mean, the league still has not been able to produce any sort of proof that Brady was involved whatsoever. All they have is some BS generally aware, you know, and they're still trying to come after them. And the Patriots are fined $1 million and 2 draft picks, and which, you know, I've said from the beginning, I don't agree with that, you know, that much of a punishment, to be honest. But I understand in a way punishing the team because it was the team's employees that supposedly, and I use the word supposedly because there are a lot of other things in play here, that supposedly did the infraction. So I get, in a way, penalizing the franchise. But to come after Brady this way with no hard physical proof, nothing at all, is completely ridiculous. And all it does is, to me, broadcast and, you know, spotlight the fact that this is a witch hunt. He's employed by 31 other owners that are tired of seeing Tom Brady destroy their defenses. He is employed by 31 other owners who are tired of the Patriots, and it's ridiculous. It's completely ridiculous, and I'm just, frankly, I'm so tired of it. I'm tired of his decisions all around. He's an idiot. My 8-year-old could lead the league better than this. Honestly, my dog could lead the league better than this. It is completely ridiculous.
Do you think he'll hold on to his job?
The owners have already come out and said Roger Goodell's job is safe. The only thing they're going to look into is reducing his role to make it so that he can't discipline. So basically his job description doesn't include disciplining, you know, being able to single-handedly hand down punishments, basically. But
I think in reality, it should have always been that way, but the bottom line is it hasn't. And this is a reality check for everybody because the owners, especially with a franchise punishment, You're talking about franchise punishment.
Right.
I agree with the franchise punishment because you can't figure out who did it, who threw the phone. You have no idea who deflated the ball. You know, I mean, you're going into, like, all these intricacies where you have no control over, okay? So the bottom line is, look, it was a Patriots employee. Great. So you punish the team, you take the draft picks, and move on with your life. But when you take, like you said, you take a witch hunt at a high-profile quarterback. This isn't just any quarterback. This is a high-profile quarterback. This is like the staple of your brand. And you decide that you're going to, you know, it's almost like baseball taking on Pete Rose when he did the gambling thing and then not allowing him to be in the Hall of Fame. I understand your bitterness over the fact that he gambled, but as a performer on the field and as a great athlete on the field, you cannot say he's not deserving of going into the Hall of Fame.
I agree wholeheartedly.
You have an issue here with, just call it a wish hunt for what it is, and it's really what it is.
Yeah, it is. You know, and I just have to say this, too, because this is really the big part of my rant. Even after the decision was, you know, released, and obviously everyone's like, oh, she didn't say not guilty, because, you know, it wasn't about guilt or not guilt. But really, we knew that when the decision came down, and if they said that they nullified the 4-game suspension, that it would be based on legal procedures that Brady's, you know, basically his legal procedures were not respected. And they weren't. But people are still claiming, I still have people that I have unfollowed on Facebook because I can't even handle the idiocy. They're still like, oh, Brady's a cheater. And I want to know, I want somebody to provide me some damn proof that shows that Brady at any time in his career has cheated. And if they bring up Spygate, I'm going to lose my crap because Spygate was a franchise issue. Again, it was a Belichick thing where we all know what Spygate entailed. Brady had nothing to do with that. And you want to talk about, if you bring up Chuck Rule, again, I'm going to lose my crap. There wasn't cheating. That was a rule that was on the book. And the refs had to call it the way they called it. And again, other than that, I want to know what they could provide me that shows that Brady is a cheater. They have nothing. And so I am so damn tired of hearing the cheater word associated with Brady. And for that fact, with the Patriots. Because other than Spygate, what do you have that the Patriots are cheaters? I mean, when the Broncos were winning their Super Bowls, they were circumventing the salary cap. The Cowboys have circumvented the salary cap, so the Redskins. I mean, we could go on and on and on about how every franchise at one point in time has cheated, has blatantly circumvented the rules to gain a competitive advantage, which is what cheating is. So I want to know why the Patriots are the ones.
If you go back, the person that will be nominated for the Hall of Fame next year, which is DeBartolo, would be a perfect example of how many championships the Niners won with a cap on a legal sense, which they didn't get caught because they were basically finding loopholes within the realms of the rule book.
Right.
And every franchise has done that. Every franchise has done that. So let's dummy it down right here. Let's just say this. The bottom line is you have a commissioner that shouldn't even be involved in this type of situation. In terms of a profile quarterback, he should have just handed the punishment to the franchise and let's move on with the season to come. But bottom line is, this is a drama field, and I'm assuming the NFL Network needs some sort of programming, so they're going to keep going with it.
I know.
And that's what it is.
It costs over $2 million. This thing is costly.
See, that's what's unnecessary.
Like,
that needs to come out of his salary. Do you know what I could do with that money? But now, you know, and so speaking of that, I think the other person that, and this is my rant with this, is that you're talking $3 million that you've cost the league. This is your sixth court settlement or court, you know, case that you've lost the NFL, which means you've lost the owners as well as the organization money. And the other part of this is that I feel bad for the people at the bottom. I know it. We all know what the S word stands for, and I know that it all flows downhill. However, at the end of the day, two equipment guys who may make $40,000 a year are out of a job. But you've just cost a $2-3 million lawsuit. But but two guys who literally may make 30, I'll even push it to the high end and push it at 50,000. And that's pushing it. And having, you know, worked for a professional sports organization, I know for a fact lower level employees on that level, they don't make anything. You know, everybody wants to say, well, I want to work for the sports industry. I'm like, do you know how much people really make? You know, they look at the organizations making all this money and have no idea that the average front office, you know, person is probably making the same amount of money as Joe Friday in everyday regular American job. So we're not talking somebody who's making a lot of money who's now out of a job. And not to be funny, people who go to school to get sports management degrees, that's who ends up as equipment person and trainer person. And where are they going to go? Who's going to hire them now? Because they're stuck on the sideline because they've got this cloud now over their head. So you've impacted someone's employment opportunity, you know?
Yeah, and that is the sad part of it. The reality is that right there.
Yeah, and we don't know that the equipment guys, they may or may not have done it. We don't know for sure. It was shoddy ref work.
Right.
You know, at halftime, three or four of the Colts footballs at halftime were under PSI, but yet the refs just stopped testing the footballs and let the other eight go because they said they ran out of time. Yet the claim is that the two Patriots equipment managers grabbed all 12 footballs, ran into a bathroom stall, and deflated all 12 in 90 seconds. But yet your dumbasses couldn't check eight other footballs at halftime? I mean, I don't buy that. I'm sorry, that's just crap. And I honestly feel like this entire thing has been a trap to catch the Patriots. And, you know, subsequently they got a bonus where they were able to get Brady, too. So it's just, I'm just tired of the, you know, this is ruining the image of the game, you know. And we've talked about it before, but, you know, Goodell is, you know, we've talked about in the past about the fight at training camp and, yeah, we, you know, the media access and everything else. But I really feel like the state that the league is in is due to the lack of respect of Goodell and his rules. And the tone that he sets for the league is why we're seeing what we're seeing. He is a huge part of that.
Yeah. It all starts from the top.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we've seen a lot of things going on now. So the bottom line is he's not going to go away. And the only good thing about the whole thing is if it comes back to an appeal and he loses again, we're going to really see a ramification there because now the owners are going to get slapped in the head, not just by the fans, mm-hmm. but they're going to get slapped in the hands. The Players Association, they haven't responded at this point in a very, you know, bold way, but only due time for that because you're looking at renegotiations coming up soon here, probably in the next year or two of that, you know, situation, and you know that these things are going to come up, and that this would be a focus point.
Especially for the next CBA. This is going to be fixed. You better believe the next CBA is not going to allow this. And here's the other thing, and this is a really interesting point. I was listening to a local sports show, and I can't remember which one, and they had one of the lawyers on for Brady, and, you know, and he made a really interesting point. He was just like, yeah, you know, you guys should be talking about something else, not listening to me because I'm boring. But we're here because, you know, this is what's in the CBA. And then someone else made a point, well, why is the lawyers, then why are you all not arguing for something better in the CBA? Because CBAs are give and take. And I also think that the players, as well as the lawyers and everyone else, I think they underestimated how far Goodell was willing to go when it came to these types of situations, as opposed to setting it up in the CBA that arbitration is independent, that you can't be Judge Dredd. You know, you can't be the, you know, I am the law. You know, you can't be the judge, the jury, and, you know, and the lawyer too. You just, you got to have a separation of church and state. And when you invest and rest all the powers of one person. The other part of it is that this is what most people also don't understand is they think that somehow this got put in the CBA for the first time. Listening to that interview, it appears that this has always been the case for the NFL and that the NFL is the only professional football organization where one person is the president, the emperor, and the chief all at the same time, as opposed to the other leagues where they have independent arbitrators. And once they decide and are willing to acknowledge this system is flawed, I promise we'll start seeing better and different outcomes.
Definitely.
I think that's the bottom line right there. You're gonna have to go that route. Like Nkechi says, they're gonna have to go do that. There's no other way around it.
No,
yeah,
there's no other way around it. Well, Erica, I don't know how much longer we have you, but we definitely want to get your thoughts and opinions on the game this Thursday. So now that Brady is going to play, since he's played the preseason games, do you think that that's enough time for him to be ready to go on Thursday to face the Steelers?
Yeah, I think Brady's always ready. That's the thing about Tom Brady is that, you know, being this season, knowing the game as well as he does, Brady's always ready, you know, and you better believe that he has been preparing as if he would play on Thursday. A guy of his caliber doesn't do anything less. He has been preparing like he would, and, you know, it'll be an exciting game. We've had some injuries and some, you know, roster shakeups and things like that. Hopefully Edelman will be ready to go. You know, Reggie Wayne was released. He actually asked to be released from the Patriots since it was a mutual decision. But so we've had some injuries.
Oh, that was going to ask you about
receivers.
That.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was a rumor, and again, this is a rumor. I don't know how true it is, that Reggie Wayne said, big surprise, that the atmosphere in New England, that it was not fun to play for the Patriots, but it was a very hard work environment. So he has to be released. Does not surprise me. Belichick, we know how he does things, and he doesn't apologize for it, but I think if you want to win and if you want to have the best chance of going to the Super Bowl, you'll endure it, you know, and if you don't want to, then you don't want to. That's your prerogative. But
yeah, I mean, we have to echo Eric Brown's sentiment where the evil empire is not a very good setting, but we're good.
No.
You know, I don't know. Brady seems to thrive, and, you know, players seem to thrive. I mean, the ones I think they can take it are, you know, I think it just really depends on, you know, the person. Like, we know personalities either mesh or they don't, and it just kind of depends on how you're able to handle that. Evil empire or not, Eric, we still have 4 Super Bowls since 2002. So.
I will say Reggie Wayne was past his prime. I think that's a big factor, and we all have to acknowledge that. He wasn't at the top of his game. And unfortunately, you know, it just happens. It happens every day in this league where you are, it doesn't matter how prominent you are, if you're not at a high level to still compete, the choice is you have to walk away yourself or they will cut you. And just that's the reality of everything, the way it goes.
Yeah. So Thursday should be interesting. Obviously, our defense has also been shaken up quite a bit. We lost a lot of people in offseason, and we've had some different injuries. But, you know, I don't ever doubt Belichick and the decisions he makes. But, you know, I don't ever doubt Brady. So even though we've had some injuries and stuff, it's still the Patriots. You can't ever count them out. So I'm definitely looking forward to it. It'll be a don't call, don't come over day. Patriots game day usually is a don't call, don't come over. Because my house is so locked up, and probably scary. So we will definitely be sitting in front of the TV and watching close.
Awesome. So,
well, I promise
Erica,
not to text you or call you.
Okay.
Yeah, thanks for chiming in with us today and bringing your rant perspective to Deflategate. And who better to do it than you? So that's the reason I kind of reached out to you today. And I know it was just like 1 week before, you know, your full show thing, but bringing you back was very refreshing.
Right.
And, of course, who better to have you than the biggest Patriots fan that we know?
That's right. Well,
absolutely.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
And, of course, I love talking to you.
It's always fun talking to you guys. So thank you, and have a great rest of the show.
You too.
All right,
hun.
So
take
you guys, you can follow Erica at FastFindGirl12, and you can also go to gridirongirl.org and pick up the Football 101 on Amazon. So if you don't know where that's at, follow her, and the link's there. And you can go ahead and get some cool stuff that they came out with, the kids' edition plus the ladies' edition. So go to Amazon.com and pick it up.
All right, have a good night, everyone.
Good night.
All right, Eka, thank you. And Kishi, I don't know, we got a couple minutes, I think, to wrap up because I don't want to have your kids screaming at you that you're going to bed late.
They're in bed asleep. Woo, go team mommy.
I'm just joking. not they're in charge or anything, just we know that.
No, well, you know what, though, of course, it's always that possibility of that late night, I need some water, you know that one.
So kind of a fun show today, kind of went to Down Under, recapped the big win in Seattle, and then we got Erica's 2 cents of, you know, the wish hunt that she calls for Tom Brady and Roger Goodell, and then we pretty much kind of exhausted our little time. So at this point, we will talk RG3. I'm pretty sure we talked last week, so we'll continue to talk RG3 because that's kind of an ongoing story, and we'll see where he ends up. Maybe Cleveland or maybe somewhere else that he can actually grow. And then we have...
Well, we'll see. They kept him, though, on the 53. Well, the Skins, you know, just to wrap that up, the Skins did keep him on the 53-man roster. I was making sure to follow that. They did keep him on the 53-man roster. And, of course, as we talked earlier, so that's going to be interesting to see. I mean, right now, when you compare when your football team is compared to the Kardashians of the NFL, that's, like, never a good look. And I'm hoping, you know, and of course, we all know that I'm not a Skins fan. However, in order for the Cowboys-Redskins rivalry to work, both teams have to be functioning at their best, because a rivalry is no fun with a lame duck, whether it's their team, whether it's our team. And, you know, right now, like, this whole city is just, they are almost like their own deflate gate. That just the atmosphere, you know, is like a deflated football. It's an implosion of the worst kind. And it's just, the vibe is so palpable around here in terms of, you know, just entire organization.
You know how funny this is? When we talk about a quarterback in a franchise, it's always depressing. But when you talk about a lineman or a position player doing, you know, leaving or whatever, not as big news. I mean, I know Revis was big in New York or whatever, but the bottom line is when it affects the quarterback or the leader, as you had mentioned before, you know, it's big. It's a bigger news, and it's a bigger Band-Aid. It's a big bleeder, and a small Band-Aid isn't going to help. It still continues to bleed.
But
so
you know what,
though?
Believe it or not, we feel that way. Believe it or not, even though people won't admit it, there are a lot of people who feel that way about the whole DeMarco Murray situation. And I think having lost DeMarco Murray and Dez Bryant, the way the Skins feel now, that's the way Cowboys Nation would have felt. And I'm sure there are some who are going to disagree with me, but you can't lose the best running back and the best wide receiver in the league in the same offseason and then survive as a team. Because the biggest issue we have had for years, and nobody will admit it or address it, is that as much as I love Tony Romo and I am an honest and unapologetic Romo lover, one of the biggest problems is Tony has tried to carry this team on his back for so long because he's been so limited. One, with a weak O-line, and two, I mean, when everybody knows you only got two weapons, you got Dez Bryant and Jason Witten, and that's it. What else are you going to do? You're going to throw the ball because you had a weak O-line that couldn't block and protect, and then you didn't have a running back who could open up the gap and create plays, so you don't have to throw the ball all the time, which now gives you choices. So now people don't know, are you going to run? Are you going to throw? And if you're going to run, you know, can you hold on to the ball? When we lost DeMarco Murray, we lost that. So, you know, everybody's kept saying, you know, oh, McFadden and, oh, Joseph Randall. And I'm like, no, you got McFadden. Hasn't played in it. He's like almost the Mike Vick of running backs. He hadn't played an entire season, and I literally don't know when. Doesn't mean that the talent isn't there, but the ability to produce on the field is not there. So everyone right now is over the moon about the Christine Michael trade. And trust and believe, I and a lot of others in Cowboy Nation let out a collective sigh of relief that the Cowboys were smart and wised up and said, yeah, this isn't working. I don't care what they put on paper. I don't care what they release in the news about, oh, they're so confident. No, they're not. Because
okay,
those
let me,
three guys.
Let me just say this. McFadden is damaged goods. Yeah,
absolutely.
McFadden is damaged goods, which I agree with you. And on top of that, the new running back there isn't going to evolve quick enough. So yeah, you have to go outside the box and you have to worry about it because you're in a NFC division where Chip Kelly's Eagles are up and running. And if Bradshaw converts, even though Tebow's gone, but if Bradshaw starts to convert and into a decent system, you got worries. You got some worries to worry about. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I agree with you. That wasn't initially, you know, what they're putting out in terms of a press, but internally, like you said, they're in that stance where they need to get somebody else.
Absolutely. And you know what? And I know you're the Rams fan. So, and here's my thing. I have always liked Sam Bradford. I thought he was talented and I thought he always had capability. But he, to me, is like that garden of, you know, maybe woulda, coulda, because he's always been about potential. He also, like McFadden and like Vic, can't stay healthy enough to stay on the field. So, you know, I was so happy for the Rams when you all picked up Nick Foles. I'm like, you guys are getting a decent quarterback. And I'm glad that he's out of my division, you know.
Yeah.
But you guys,
I'm not sold on a good quarterback. Yeah, I'm not sold so much on the quarterback status. I'm just not sold on Fisher's game planning and Fisher's driving for a division title. I mean, he hasn't done anything to wow the fan base, and I'm one of those probably negative Nellies, if you want to call it, for the coach. But he hasn't done anything to impress besides the defense, which is no different than what he had in Tennessee for the 10 years that he'd been in Tennessee. And because, you know, rest in peace, obviously, Steve McNair, that's the only limelight or highlight that he's had. He hadn't made the playoffs any single year. So, as you know, just let me throw that out. Rams fan base right now, as a true diehard Ram fan, I will tell you right now, this is not the coach that's going to take us to the next promised land, especially in this division where you have Bruce Arians and you have the Seahawks and you have the Niners even at some point are going to get better. So unless we wow everybody this year with a 9-7 finish, if we go 8-8, it's like, I don't know, I'm going to go ahead and vomit and feel sick into my stomach. Because at this point, you got Nick Foles. If you don't put him in a good position to win, then you just threw away a lot of talent, and he's talented. So the bottom line is the coach in St. Louis is on the chopping block in my eyes right now. He's on the chopping block because he's got a good defense. He's got some good, credible players on that side of the ball. He has a good offense with good running back and talented young receivers, and now he has what you and me and everybody else sees, a pretty upscale quarterback to run the program. So now it's Jeff Fisher's time to, you know, produce. He has to produce because this is he's got talent. So there's no question that they're not talented. Now it's a matter of coaching and execution, and we'll see if that happens. But that's where I'm at with the Rams. You know, I mean, it's my team, but with the same token, just like you talk about the Cowboys and you talk about the internal administration and the goings with the general managers and all the money aspect that's behind the scenes. The same can be said in St. Louis because right now they're in disarray. They don't even know if they're going to stay in Missouri or they're going to go to L.A.
Oh, God.
In my heart, I will tell you right now, Stan Kroenke is no idiot, and we will go to Los Angeles because that's where the money is. The big stadium, new revenue, everything. He's not going to stay in St. Louis, and the St. Louis fan base and the community in St. Louis is not going to pony up, you know, taxpayer money for a new stadium. Not going to happen, especially with this team being that mediocre.
Well, even if they did.
Not going
to
happen.
Yeah, but even if they did pony up the money for the new stadium, this is about something else because this is not about stadium. This is about revenue and sponsorship dollars because here's the reality. L.A. is sexier. L.A. has more money. L.A. is one of these, if not, is the second largest market in the country. And the ability to get bigger, better dollars, donors, and fan base in L.A., you know, he wants them have his team sitting there like with Jack Nicholson on the front row and Spike Lee on court side of the Knicks. He wants that for the Rams. And you're right. You guys aren't going to stay. And I think that that also is going to breed a lot, too, because you can't take a lame duck to L.A. That's just not going to happen. And I think that that's going to be a huge factor.
He has built his empire. This is not an owner. This is not like Georgia Frontieri, where she was strapped to Mr. Rosenblum's empire and heritage and money. I know she had money, but she had no amount of money as close as Stan Kroenke does right now. This man it has a sports enterprise behind him. So this is a total different ballgame for an owner. For him to go to L.A., it's just, like you said, more revenue, more exposure, everything. So he will go to L.A. if that's the case. If push comes to shove, he will take the team to L.A. He's done it, you know, he's done it before. So, I mean, he's a businessman. So businessmen go where business makes sense. And, like, to your point right now, Los Angeles, second biggest market in the country, of course that makes sense.
No, it does. It makes a lot of sense. But you know what? Believe it or not, I think if Jason Garrett, I think if the Cowboys had not gone as far as they did, and I don't care, I'm, you know, my Erica's got her rants, I still believe in the catch, non-catch, you know, that it was still a catch. But, and I know that that one play, I don't care what anybody says, really was the tide turner for the game, you know, and that it would have been the Cowboys in Seattle. And I honestly think that the Cowboys had what it took to get to the NFL, get to the Super Bowl last year. But I think that if the Cowboys don't replicate something along that level again this year, redheaded Jesus got maybe one more year after this season.
Yeah.
And I think that too. Because, again, like you said, there has been too much talent on the Cowboys for us to have been so mediocre at 8-8-8-8-8-8 for 4 years in a row under Jason Garrett. That is ridiculous. And the fact that he even was allowed to stay that long at 8-8, you know, everybody was waiting every year, holding their breath. Oh, is this the year? Oh, is this the year? Because it's always that, are we going to get over the hump? And I think we're in the same situation, you know, just different players on the field in terms of we've got quality, we've got talent. But what we did not have, and to my opinion, we, like you, don't have, is a coach who knows how to put the pieces together. I think last year was just a perfect storm and the pieces fit themselves. And he was able to just stand on the sideline and take the credit, kind of like what they were saying about LeBron James in Cleveland. His coach doesn't have to coach. He just needs to stand there. He doesn't have to do anything. The team's going, you know, or even what they were saying about Eric Spoelstra with the Heat, you know, when they had the big three. He doesn't have to coach the game. LeBron and Chris Bosh and D-Wade were going to figure it out themselves and then coach the team and move the players where they needed to go. Spoelstra just had to be there to put the players in and out of the game and substitute. Some people just benefit from being in the right place at the right time. And I think that Jason Garrett benefited from being in the right place at the right time and having all the right pieces. Now, we're going to see, can you really coach this? Because if we go back to 8-8, ooh, Nelly, there's going to be an uprising in Big D. There's not going to be
That's why I'm saying it's like there's a big differences in terms of, you know, who you bring in to lead the ship. And your perfect example is there, and my perfect example in St. Louis is right there. It's like you don't – when you say Jeff Fisher is our head coach, it doesn't bring a fire in your eyes going, oh, man, we're going to the playoffs. You go, hey, by the way, Bill Belichick has been here for so many years, and he's going to the playoffs every year. So it's like when somebody says Bill Belichick, you don't question the fact that you're not going to be in the playoffs. You're just going, how deep are you going to go in the playoffs? It's like that's how it's done in New England right now. It's like, how deep are we going in the playoffs? But we know we're going to the playoffs. I mean, that's just already a vibe, you know, positive vibe going in through the fan base. But in St. Louis, Dallas, we got a lot of question marks.
No.
And we got a lot of doubt.
Yeah.
And we got a lot of, I don't think this guy can do it. So until they prove us wrong, you're in that same mindset.
Yeah, absolutely. That's absolutely what it is. So just to wrap things up, too, because I know we're getting toward 11:15.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to throw this out there because I don't think we can leave without addressing this issue with the Cleveland Browns as we get ready to start the season. But offensive line coach Andy Moeller has been suspended indefinitely, and it's allegedly for an off-field incident. The Browns are not releasing the details with regard
to the situation. We'll probably get to see all that on NFL Network this week, so basically stay tuned for some of the stuff that's going to unravel. It looks like it's just
Well, the problem for him is that this is not his Well, the problem for him is that this is not his first incident, and that's what makes it difficult because people keep forgetting, you know, he was with the Ravens. And so if you, for those who didn't know, he's had several DUI incidences. So, yeah, we definitely are going to have to stay tuned to what's going on here and how is this going to impact and also a shaky team that's in the process of trying to rebuild once again. And this is just another one of those three-ring circus setbacks.
And that's, you know, it goes back to the same thing I keep saying, I keep telling people before, you know, the same thing with the drug abuse, with the, you know, the enhanced drugs in the NFL. It hasn't gone away. They don't lash you out or cut you off right away. If they did that, it would be more, you know, less of that. But unfortunately, they give you more than one chance. So that's why a lot of times it's a repeat offender. You know what I mean?
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think everybody's so hung up in what happens with the players that they forget that it goes all the way around. And
it does.
It could impact anybody.
So before we leave here, I want to give our sponsors, obviously, a shout-out. Thank you, UltimateSportsTalk.com. You can go to UltimateSportsTalk.com at Ultimate, UETL Sports Talk on Twitter. You can find everything on there, NBA, NFL, MMA, WWE. Keep up to date on all the latest sports updates on Twitter feed, or you go to their actual website, which is UltimateSportsTalk.com. You can find everything there week to week, breaking news as well, and you can find our podcast as well there. So that's our pitch for today, of course. But UltimateSportsTalk.com, the best site. You can go and get everything that's breaking news and get yourself caught up. I'm a big Ronda Rousey fan, so go check out UltimateSportsTalk.com. She's got a nice feature on MMA there with the Ultimate Sports Talk site. As well as we want to thank Zazzle.com for supporting our broadcast and keeping us afloat. Zazzle.com, you can go to Zazzle.com at our shop at Zazzle.com/GridironBeauties. There's over 200 designs there. You can customize and change the designs with colors, features, fonts. You can do everything that is displayed out there with some limited designs. Obviously, they're fixed, but for the most part, you can do customizing for gifts for anybody that you want to give them to, especially anybody that's playing a woman's gridiron. It's designed for that. So over 200, and we're on an international platform, and we could not be more than grateful to Zazzle.com. You can find our website in pretty much every country on the planet, over 20 websites internationally. So you can get your gear in UK, you can get your gear in Australia, get your gear in Canada, pretty much all around global. So we want to just thank Zazzle.com for keeping us afloat and sponsoring us and having a relationship with us for as long as they have. And we continue to grow with them, and they obviously are supporting us as well. And then Blog Talk as well, blogtalk.com, for keeping us the platform with the radio show. We do have a contest this week. It ends on September the 30th. So for you girls out there that play football, women's gridiron, indoor, outdoor, full kit, non-full kit, whatever you're into in terms of the sport, even flag if you want, you can go ahead and send us a picture on Twitter, and you can tag it with a helmet or a football. You can take a picture with a helmet or a football. You can go up there and you can post one of those, and we will select a winner for a No Joke Football Project tee on September 30th. So if you want to be included into the contest, please tag us at Gridiron Beauty when you send in your picture, or you can use the hashtag NoJokeFootball. So that's pretty much it for Oscar Lopez and Kishi Free, once again, doing the board up here, and for Erica Lynn Anderson for showing up to show us some Patriots, you know, rant. I think we'll be here next Monday night, right?
Absolutely. I can't wait.
And next Monday night, NFL kicks off, so we're going to have major NFL action.
So we're excited. So everyone, thanks again so much for chatting with us, and we look forward to next week. Get ready for some football, ladies and gentlemen.
All right, that's signed off. So for Nkechi Free, Oscar Lopez, Have a great week, and we'll see you here Monday night for NFL Monday Night Football, and we'll keep tabs on that next week on Monday night. Have a great night, everybody. Safe travels out there.
Good night.
Good night. Bye.